is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can love. Is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you. Is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can love. Is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can't make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you. Love was made for me and you. Love was made for me and you.
Hello!
Hello!
This is Mona Noah Save the World, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And sadly, this is our last show of the semester. But happily, we will be back next semester.
Yes.
With more high-quality content. We will be back next semester if I remember to log my volunteer hours, which I forgot on the
way
in.
Come on, Mona.
So please remind me on the way out, Noah.
Will do, will do.
So tonight, as you can guess, we are discussing love. Right now we hear "What is Love" playing in the background, which I think is appropriate. And it's going to be wild.
Yeah, we have, I think, some exciting news. We have two special guests in the studio.
Filling it up. Two, we have twice the fun here tonight.
Yes, we do.
Let's introduce our guests.
Yeah, introduce yourselves.
Well, my name's Jack, and my qualifications is that I'm here visiting Noah because I'm his boyfriend. So we may or may not know what love is, but
yeah, okay. Yeah, hopefully we do.
Yeah, but luckily, I feel like if it was just me, Noah, and Jack, that I'd be outnumbered in my cynical, cold opinions. But luckily, I have someone else here.
My name's Madison. I have no qualifications, but I'm quite cynical, and Mona and I will happily take on Noah and Jack tonight.
It's the fight of the decade.
Yes, I agree. I don't even know where to start. Like, what is love? What is this? That's a good question. Okay. I was thinking that it's weird that in the English language we have one word for love.
Yes.
I feel like in other languages, I know.
In Greek, there's three forms of love. I know
in Korean, there's like a word called like jung or something. I think it's jung, which like is the feelings you acquire for someone after spending a long period of time with them. You know, like it's like the love you feel that like you can only feel from like a really like spending long, like a married couple. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I mean, from like a psychology perspective, there are different types of love. There's like compassionate love.
Yes. We learned about the triangular theory of love.
Yes.
Robert Sternberg.
Which is so
I wrote a song. Can we play my song that I wrote?
Is it available?
I'm going to find a way for us to play it.
Perfect.
And it's going to be great. More on that
later. That is exciting.
More on that later.
Yes.
But it's like, I just think it's weird that you're like, I love you, Mom. And you're also like, I love you, lover. Like, that's weird.
But I also, love my cat also.
But also, like, I say I love you to the friends from college that I've known for 4 months.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird. Or is it? Or is it true?
Aw.
We love you guys.
Oh, my God. We love you, Maddie. I guess.
So are you asking what is love?
Yeah.
What is... I think I wrote a paper on this freshman year of high school.
You're kidding. That's so funny.
Oh, from Miss Curran?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We wrote probably a similar paper.
Very
probably.
Interesting.
I think love is just, like, an exercise in compassion.
Okay.
Like, anybody who you're willing to, like, give time to and, like, try to understand them.
Okay.
I think that's the qualification.
I have a question. That's why I gasped, because I just remembered I read about this.
Mm-hmm.
Is love a feeling or an action?
I think it can be both.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it can be both. Because, like, the feelings that you have for someone is what will, like, inspire your actions towards them.
Okay.
Like, being willing to, like, go through, like, some kind of, not necessarily discomfort, but, like I drove like 7 hours through like the middle of nowhere to get here, and like I wouldn't like do that if I didn't love Noah. So I think that action is motivated by a feeling. So
interesting, because I read an internet like story, which you know are always so reliable, but it was like saying how it was like, you know, it was like on like a Tumblr blog or so, I don't know, it was like, I always thought love was a feeling, but then I saw, but then, like, my teacher said, do you think love is a feeling or an action? And, like, most teenagers, we said, it's a feeling. And she said, like, no, it's an action. And she had all these reasons that I no longer remember. But I thought that was interesting, because I agree that it's, like, the actions that come out of a feeling, but I feel like the feeling has to be there, too, right? Then I was thinking, you know, in a lot of, like, arranged marriages, it's, like, you meet the person the day of your wedding, you get married, you show all the actions of love, you like have a life together, and then over time it's like, I think a lot of those couples do report being like, yeah, like this is love. Like the actions led to the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maddie, what do you think?
I've never thought about that. I never thought about love being a feeling, and now that I'm thinking about it, that makes sense. But I think at the root, like at the core, you need the feeling of love. Like you're saying, you inspire the actions of love. Like, I think the feeling comes first.
Okay.
And then I was thinking I thought that the action thing didn't really translate like from romantic love to friendship love. But I actually think it does. Like you think about the sacrifices you'd make for your friends or the time you'd spend just to do something for your friend or for your family members. So I don't think that you can have just action and be love, but I also think you can't just have feeling and be love. You need both.
I agree. When I Googled it just now, a bunch of things came up. But I think it says, like one says, love is a choice more than a feeling. What love really means, because it's not just a feeling. Love is a choice, not a feeling.
But if you can't exercise the actions of love because of your circumstance, that doesn't mean you can't still love somebody.
That's what I was thinking. I feel like you can be in love with someone, but not,
and then,
you know.
I mean, as being in a long-distance relationship, there are a lot of ways to exercise love as an action, but there's also, like, a lot
limited
to be said for the feeling of love and, like,
well, I feel like that also leaves the difference of, like, love versus being in love. I feel like, again, in our, like, in the English language, the way we kind of, like, connotate between, you know, like, I love you versus I'm in love with you. Like, those are, you don't say I'm in love with you to your mom in Syria, like, you know, or to your friend. Like, that's kind of reserved for, and it's also, like, but at the same time, it's, like, real, like, it feels like, I don't know, at least to me, it feels like such a big difference, even in a romantic relationship, to say, like, I love you so much versus I'm so in love with you.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the same thing.
Definitely.
I think we're finding the limitations of the word. Like, I think this comes back to what we started with. The word love is too broad. Like, we use it to mean way too many things. I think, like, we're talking about 3-4 different kinds of love.
Yeah.
Like, Yeah. Love for your family, love for your friends, and then being in love, like you said, the word in turns it into a completely different meaning. Like, it has a different meaning, has a different weight to it.
Very interesting. Okay, well, yeah.
Do you look favorably upon, like, us making new words to better define our, like, feelings toward things? Should we have different words describing different types of love? Would that be good for
us? Well, I know once on this show we kind of highlighted a video from that website, from the YouTube channel, Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows, which that's kind of their goal, is to, like, make new words that highlight different feelings that we haven't really expressed in the English language. So, I mean, but the thing is, like, those words aren't really, like, incorporated into, like, our common day thing. But there are words that kind of start as, like, fake, and then, like, bae. Like, bae was a joke, and now bae is, like, not really a joke. Like, people use the word bae unironically.
Fair.
True.
What else? Like,
I mean, there's, like, the German word schadenfreude, which is, like,
ooh, yeah,
like,
that's
feeling
a good one.
Joy when you see others in pain. And, like,
that's a good one.
That's not really a word that people would, like, it's a word people sometimes use.
The Germans haven't figured out with this complicated word thing.
Oh, definitely.
I think rather than us coming up with English words,
we should just
adopt them.
We get do better that at incorporating words.
Yeah.
I think, like, one of the, like, idiosyncrasies about English, though, is that, like, we don't come up with new words to describe things.
It's true.
Like, we qualify a word after we say it. Like, I might say, like, I'm in love with Noah, but then I would say, like, perhaps, like, I love some other person, like a brother or like a friend. And I think we, like, qualify the word after we say it in the English language, rather than, like, developing a whole new word.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is definitely a limitation.
Yeah. Something that I think is interesting that I'm remembering now is that, like, because we use love with friends, I think pretty casually. Like, I think pretty quickly into being friends with people, I'm like, okay, see you later, love you, bye.
That's different for different people.
Okay, so this is me personally.
Me too.
What I've found in, like, friendship relationships is that I do that, and then I can tell that when, if there's someone I'm interested in romantically and we're already friends and I already say, like, oh, love you, see you, bye, that you can tell that things are moving away from friendship because we stop saying I love you.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
So there's, like, a gap in saying I love you. You go from saying I love you every day to never saying it, and then you go back to it, you know, seeing if that progresses romantically, which is, I think, kind of, it's a funny manifestation of this exact problem.
So funny.
Or you have that, like, awkward phase where you're like, I really like you.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say love you.
Right.
And also, I, like, this sounds so stupid, but, like, heart emojis, or, like, emoji, like, the heart eyes. Like, I send the heart eyes emoji to everyone.
Me too. I do the heart, the red heart to everyone.
But then it's, like, at a certain point, it's, like, suddenly the emoji means so much more. Yeah. Suddenly it's, like, wow, this is the only thing I can, through this text message, I'm really conveying my deep feelings for you.
I use the kissy, the kissy emoji sarcastically a lot, like, okay, boom, or something like that. But I forgot that I was texting my ex-girlfriend, and she sent a meme, and I was like, and she was like, what does that mean? And I was like, nothing. I meant nothing by that. Ignore that.
Zero.
Nothing. Yeah.
So funny. I like, there's a new emoji that's like a smiley face, but it has three little hearts around
that
it.
That is the best emoji in the world.
Best emoji I've ever seen. It's very much
I was
like,
actually going to bring that up. So
really?
I appreciate
you updated your phone just so you can see it.
It's so
me
good.
Too.
Like,
it's
I sent
so
you a screenshot.
Cute.
And was like,
it's
like, you need, like, this emoji so we can truly convey our love.
Yes. I've sent it probably
screw the German words. We have emojis.
I just sent it to my mom, and I don't know what it is about this emoji that makes me feel something that I've never felt before, but I just
is that,
love it.
Is that what love is?
Is that, so what is love? It's this emoji.
This one emoji.
If you get sent this emoji, know that you are loved.
Amazing.
Definitely. And if you don't, maybe somebody loves you.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, I feel like the heart eyes emoji, you know, is not really taken romantically ever.
It depends on the context. It can be.
I feel like I don't feel, like, uncomfortable sending that to people that, like, maybe I wouldn't send other things to. I'm like, okay, I think you know that this is just me and my personality.
Fair. I think you can tell a lot about a person by the emojis that they're comfortable using.
This is a whole, wow, that's,
well,
that's a left.
Like, I don't really, if a friend says, like, I love you, I'll say I love you back, but I feel like I'm very rarely the first one to, like, say that, because I have, like, I feel like a weird border where like I do love friends and I love friends a lot, but I also like don't tell them that.
Yeah, you don't say it. Interesting. I like have that like super awkward, like someone's like, oh, like bye, I love you, and I'm like, oh, love you too, because like I'm like I don't love you, but like I don't love you, but like I don't know, it's just weird. And then it comes across as me being like hyper awkward. And
do you like me or do you like me?
You know? Do you like, oh, classic. Yeah. Never forget.
Never thought I'd hear that again.
Oh my God. It's like so relevant though. Like,
yeah. I mean, do you love me or do you just, I love you? You know? It's tricky.
I remember once I was having a conversation with someone about a mutual friend and she was like, I just love that boy so much. And I was like, oh, me too. He's so great, so wonderful, you know, continue the conversation. And then she went, yeah, you know, I love him. And I was like, yeah, me too. He's just, me too. And by the third time that she was like, I love so-and-so, I was like, I don't think we're saying the same thing. It's like, I do not think we're on the same page. Yeah. And by the fourth time, I was like, yeah, okay, it's been 15
She's
minutes.
She's in love with him.
Yeah, it was very interesting. Because, yeah, the first time I was like, oh my God, me too, love him, etc. And then I noticed she just kind of kept coming back to that phrase. And I was like, do we think maybe there's something going on that we want to talk about?
Let's unpack. Let's delve
a little deeper. Interesting. Okay.
Can you so really love someone if it's like one-sided like that, though?
That's something, Jack. I am so glad you brought that up. Once I asked my mom that, I was like, I was very dramatic. I was like, how can it be possible to love someone and you don't love them back? Like, that shouldn't be.
You can totally love someone and they don't love you back.
Yeah, clearly you can, but, like, I feel like you shouldn't be able to. Like, it doesn't make sense, because it's like, how can you feel such deep feelings for someone and they're like, I don't feel that?
Because the reasons why we feel love towards other people can be very different from the reasons why they feel love.
Yeah, I guess when my complaint to my mom about this, she was like, you know, people look for different things, different people have different needs, so like for one person what's like a perfect match like is the opposite of what the other person wants. But I do think it's crazy that like it feels like love should by definition be reciprocal.
Here's my like,
what's your hot take?
Okay, so like as a gay person, like there are so many people who I'm like, wow, like, it would be great if, like...
Oh, interesting.
Like, you could love me, but you can't because you're straight, you know? That's, like, most men in the world. So, like, that's like, a regular idea. Is, like, Yeah.
I also once asked my mom, and she ended up... This is a funny story. So, I asked my mom, I was like, whatever, let's, you know, crying and being dramatic. And I was like, maybe I wasn't crying. Maybe I was just being dramatic. One or the other. I was like, do you think animals experience heartbreak? She was like, I don't know, Mona. And I was like, do you think they feel this way? And she was like, who knows? The next day, a friend of mine is like, have you seen your mom's Twitter lately? My mom tweeted this. She tweeted like, daughter, do you think animals can experience heartbreak? Me, .. daughter. I just think their lives are so much easier. And I was like, damn. So, do we think animals can experience, like, do animal, like, it feels like love is such a uniquely human emotion. Yeah, I think
yeah.
we're
do you
getting
get to that? That.
We're getting to that. I know, we're almost there. We're almost there. We're almost about to preview a song.
Okay.
But I think, no, why did you start
it? It's cute. It's not my fault.
It's a pause. We can have a little bit of... We got some feedback from our show that the background music is too loud and that's distracting. So we're working on that. Because we incorporate feedback. Dad, at brother.
Or if anybody wants to call in, tell
and
us
give
how
us
you're
their
feeling.
Yeah.
How you felt.
Yeah, how you feel about love and everything. But seriously, like, what do we think about that? Do we think animals?
I mean, I feel like when people talk about love,
I really want to know.
They talk about like how penguins and they have their little baby children and they're connected forever. But I think it's impossible to know because love is so large. Like, what portion of love? Like, do they experience that like deep in love feeling? Would they drive 7 hours?
I need to
for
know.
Their other penguin. I don't know. But,
I think we're transitioning to the okay. idea of, you know,
so, yeah.
we've been talking about, like, love, and then what about the lack of love?
Yes.
When there isn't love, but you mm-hmm. want there to be love.
Yeah.
And I thought there was a very good song that described this, and not to call people out, but Noah took it off this playlist, because he said it wasn't I what we were going
we,
for.
I thought we had a little bit of a different theme,
we had a little bit of fair. Different ideas of themes. I was taking the more, like, I don't know what the difference was, but it was different. But this, it's like a really boppy song, and it's such a bop. But when you listen to the lyrics, I think it's really resonant with a lot of what young people feel. And I think we should unpack it after we listen
okay.
to it. But this is Dua Lipa, Scared to be Lonely. Before she was a star, before New Rules, this was kind of like her song.
This was her truth.
I think all of her songs speak truth. I think New Rules, even though it's overplayed and, you know, overhyped, I do think it's a genius song. But
you know what?
The song is deep.
Maybe this will, someone else will find truth in this song too.
They will. Well, okay. let's hear it.
Yeah, let's hear it. This is Scared to be Lonely.
It was great at the very start. Hands on each other, couldn't stand to be far apart. Closer the better. Now we're picking fights and slamming doors, magnifying all our flaws. And I wonder what for.
Just to feel like
recommendation bonus.
Unpack. I'm very excited. Okay, so I don't know. I feel like, you know, like humans, this is a, you know, blanket statement, but I feel like we do have like a fundamental loneliness, but we don't want to face it. So I was talking to one of our friends, Becca.
Ugh.
We miss.
Yes.
She went home and we're sad. I was talking to her about this, how especially like even in like friendships, I think there's this idea that, you know, friends make you feel better. Friends can ease your pain and loneliness. But there's this idea that, okay, therefore, you know, when I'm feeling lonely, like my friend, you know, having friends should help that. Like, and same with relationships. It's like, oh my God, like I feel lonely. Like time for some love, time for some cuddles. And I think we're just, I feel like we're just, it's hard for us to admit that, like, yeah, maybe we're just lonely and like, maybe there's nothing we can do about that and maybe that's okay. And I feel like that song kind of covers it, where it's like, yeah, it starts off great and then at a certain point it's like, are we just doing this so that, you know, we don't have to face ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts, Noah?
I mean, I hope not, you know? But I do think that can, like, love can become that. Especially because, like, who does want to be lonely today, you know?
Of course.
It's a big world, and there's a lot of scary things, and it's definitely nice to have somebody to go back to.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think, like, Mona has a really good point, because, like, I don't know how it is here at Tufts, but, like, I know that, like, the entire, like, first 2 months of, like, college at Widener are just, like, focusing on trying to keep the freshmen, like, not lonely, not suicidal, like, talking to people. And, like, I think that, like, transfers over into real life in that, like, everyone is trying to find, like, their own way to, like, keep themselves distracted from, like, loneliness, be it, like, hanging out with friends and or, like, finding, like, a partner or just doing something that keeps them occupied. And once they find that, like, then they have that fulfilling thing. But, like, I think everyone's just trying to find the thing that will fulfill them, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. I think that's true. But I think there are things that are fulfilling, and there are relationships that are fulfilling, and there are friendships that are fulfilling, but I think that doesn't mean that there will never be these feelings of loneliness and sadness.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was thinking, like, what you were saying before, Mona, kind of brought up the question for me, was, like, can you love somebody if you don't know yourself well enough? Because, like, now I was thinking, like, if you know yourself well enough, then loneliness is different, because you're it's like easier to self-reflect. But so even when you're in love with somebody, you can still be lonely, because, like, you don't have that self-fulfillment. So I was wondering if it, like, can you be in love with somebody without having a sense of self?
I mean, RuPaul in his her amazing quote says, if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you gonna love somebody else?
Yeah,
which I think is true.
I also, yeah, I know my mom, when I was in, like, middle school and I was like, why don't I have a boyfriend? My mom was like, you're not going to be able to be in a relationship until you don't want to be in a relationship. And I was like, what? And I was like, that doesn't make sense. But I think there is, you know, it's an exaggeration, but there's truth to it. Because if you're looking for a relationship for the sake of a relationship, then you're just looking for, you know, things that might be unsustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but if you just, if it's about the person and not about, like, I need to have someone.
Yeah.
Then it's, you know, healthier and more sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really interesting.
Like, people should be there to supplement your life, not, like, complete it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Noah and I have had this conversation. Like, we would both be, like, perfectly fine to, like, function if we didn't have each other. But, like, we do make each other's lives way better.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we just add to each other. We don't, like, I don't rely on Noah to, like, be fine, and neither does he on me. But, like, we add to each other's lives.
There's this beautiful idea that when you're in love with somebody, then, like, the total is greater than the sum of the two parts.
Right.
Of course, yeah.
Which
classic.
I think is a beautiful and very true idea.
My mom always says, like, you don't want to find someone that's going to bring you down at all. Unless you're better from the other person, there's literally no point at all.
Yeah. Very interesting.
I like that a lot of our love advice, for Mona and myself anyway, is like, my mom says this, and my, but you know what?
That's so true.
Our moms are, they have wisdom.
They know what they're talking about. Do I know what I'm talking about? No.
But I can spit out what my mom has said to me.
Absolutely. Me too. I'm always like, oh my God, the best one. I have a really good one. It's not directly related, but it's related enough. And I've said it to so many people, and somehow it just works. Like, it doesn't really make sense, but in another way, it really makes sense. I said, once I was like, you know, I was like, ah, mom, boys, they lie. They tell you they love you. Then they say they don't. Like, then they say, I can't be with you. Oh, mom, they lie, they lie. And she said, that doesn't mean, you know, if someone tells you they love you and then they break up with you, that doesn't mean that they were lying when they said they loved you. And I'm like, yes, it does. What was me? And she said, she had such an interesting analogy. She said, you know, when your younger cousin, who was like at the time like 7, she was like, you know, she's at a family dinner. She's setting the table. She's polite. She's kind to her sister. The adults say, oh my God, you know, she's so mature. She's doing so well. An hour or two passes. She starts to get restless. You know, eventually it gets to the point where she just, you know, she throws a tantrum. She can't do it anymore. She needs to go to bed, etc.
Mm-hmm.
No one's like, ah, that lying little thing. She, when she was setting the table and acting mature, what a lie that was. Like, you know, people, you know, you recognize that it's like, okay, that maturity was real, but it was unsustainable. And now, you know, it's
people change.
And she was like, the same is true for boys. And I've said that to maybe like 3 people who have like said something similar to me about, you know, like men lie, whatever, they're so X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And each time they've been like, wait, that's such a good analogy. And like somehow it just works. So shout out to my mom for coming up with that analogy to compare teenage maturity to 7-year-olds.
That speaks to me.
I know, doesn't it speak to you?
Because I'm always like, do I know, like, when I said I love you when I was 16, like, did I really know? Like, I don't know if that was love, but does it count? Like, is it love because in that moment I felt that to be true?
I think it is.
Even I if think it is.
In retrospect, I'm like, she knew nothing.
Can we put the PSA book away?
Book is stressing me out.
This is like, a good one.
This is like actually a good topic. That I have, I think.
Good. Thank you, Jack. You know I hate the PSAs.
You
more
got
than
it, Jack.
Noah and I both, we're both gay, obviously, but we both dated girls for like extended periods of time in high school. Mm-hmm. Noah, like what, almost a year, and I was like 18.
11 months, and then she broke up with me.
Yeah. Yeah. And then mine was like 18 months, and like, I know that I said to her like several times that like, oh, like I love you, and like I thought I loved her. And now looking back at it, like not only do I realize like how damaging that relationship was to me, so it's like impossible for me to have like really loved her. I think now, like you don't really know every time you think you're in love with someone and then it ends, you like learn something about love. Mm. And like while now it would seem like ridiculous for me to say like, oh yeah, like I was in love with like that girl in like 10th grade, like at the time it made sense. And
I think that's different.
Like, but as a result of that ending, like I thought I was in love, but it turns out I might have been, but I learned how to love better as a result.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. That's true. I feel like,
cause you learn like about yourself, which gives you the ability to like love someone else to a greater extent.
Mm.
I don't know. I do think it's interesting because it's, I mean, it extends to things that are like other than love as well. It's like you know, you feel really smart and then you're like, when I look back on this, am I going to think, wow, I was such a smart teenager? Or are you going to think, wow, I thought I was so smart? And it's like, I think that just calls into the greater like discussion of like retrospect and memory, which we talked about once, the feeling to like the need to capture the present and like, I don't know, yesterday I was reading like this thing about how, you know, it was by a photographer and she said like people think that taking a photograph of something captures a memory, but in a way it actually just helps you to forget because you forget the real experience and you remember the picture and all that stuff. Let's give Noah his PSA so that he can relax.
Noah, his PSA isn't entertaining.
These are some numbers to think about, listeners. The United States has less than 5% of the planet's population, but incarcerates 24% of its prisoners and accounts for 43% of the world's total military spending. This is a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Ooh, that was a good one. I liked
it.
Okay, that was good. I loved it. I would also like to share that my mom texted me saying she loved the mom shoutouts, and guess what emoji she used? She used that little smiley with the three hearts around it.
Snap to that. I would like to make a PSA off of my own head. Mm-hmm. PSA, Mona's mom is awesome. Oh. And if you don't know that, now you know.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
PSA that I love all the people in this room very much. Even Jack, who I don't know as well, still have love for in my heart. Oh, God. Are we talking about love? Jesus. See, now I started like...
You good? What type of love is this?
Yeah, because I was thinking about how I just said, I love Jack, even though I don't know him. Then I was like, do I love him? I really don't know him.
Well, I think that is a great transition to this song that I think we want to highlight, Call Out My Name by The Weeknd, talking about
how
we can feel very different ways about the same thing, kind of, I would say.
Listeners, prepare yourself.
This is probably a pretty... dramatic ride.
It's
so
pretty dramatic.
Do enjoy. This is Call Out My Name by The Weeknd.
Thank you.
Hello.
We're back. Yes, we love that song. But it's funny because Noah and I have such different reactions to it. I guess I find that song to just be so deeply sad. It's just
devastating.
It's so sad. It's like, why? What is it? Why can't you wait till I fall out of love with you? Like, okay. And Noah was like, song is so sensual and sexy, and I was like, what? And I mean, now that he said that, like, I can see that, but like, I guess when I listen to it, the last thing I think is like, ah, wow, like, this is such a sexy song. But tell our listeners what you said to me, which I thought was interesting.
So I mean, it's sort of about this like toxic sort of relationship, and I think something that's like the tricky part of, because everyone's like, just leave, it's so easy, just like, that person's obviously bad for you. And it's like, well, like, sometimes you just get overwhelmed by other aspects of this relationship that, like, you just forget what, like, the real messages are, and, like, you sort of have a one-track mind, I guess, maybe.
So you're saying that, like, by making the song kind of sexy and sensual and kind of, like, that kind of feeling of drawing you in, The Weeknd is communicating, but then having the lyrics be so, like, tragic, The Weeknd is communicating.
The way that,
like,
lust can just overwhelm love.
Lust versus love. Very interesting.
I also think this, like, represents the idea that, like, being in love with the idea of loving someone is not loving someone. Because,
that's so true.
Like, I feel like it's expressly about, like, I did all of these things that, like, should have made you love me, but, like, it never really, like, happened.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
And I do think it, like, illustrates that point that, like, just wanting to be in love with someone does not, like, qualify being in love with someone.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's clear he does have pretty strong feelings, though. Or no?
Like,
I think he's just wanting to be in love with
her. I think he wants to have strong feelings. Because, like, like, going back to, like, my relationship, like, I wanted to be in love with her, but I wasn't at the end, I wasn't necessarily in love with her, but I, like, wanted that to be a thing, which is, like, why I stuck around for such a long period of time.
I mean, sort of building on that, in my relationship, like, something weird that I always felt, which is probably a sign, you know, I was like, I feel like I'm, like, doing all the things you do in movies when you love somebody, or, like, I'm like saying all these lines that should be the right lines, and I'm like, but if I'm, like, saying these sort of, like, cliche ideas, like, maybe that should have been a warning to me that, like, I wasn't originally feeling any type of love.
Okay.
And so, like, maybe I should have evaluated that situation a little bit more. I don't know. I didn't have any regrets.
That's very interesting. I mean, yeah, I mean, you look at some of the lyrics, I want you to stay even though you don't want me. I claimed you so proud and openly, right? That doesn't sound like the most romantic idea. But then he does say, I said I didn't feel nothing, baby, but I lied. So he did feel something. I don't know.
It's tricky.
The song is also written by, like, three men. And I think, like, a lot of the lyrics, like, as Mona's talking about, like, reflect these, like, traditional ideas of, like, what a guy does to, like, express his love for a girl.
Very true.
Very interesting.
Very true.
I think it's interesting that you said you feel like he wants to be in love with her, but he wants to feel the love, but it's not really love, is I interpreted it as he's in love with her and he doesn't want to be, which in some ways is the opposite idea in the idea, but in another way it's kind of almost all the same, because I always read it as, like, he doesn't want to be feeling this way, and yet he is.
Yes.
But
he's, like,
is it really that different in both cases? It's like kind of that gap. There's a gap in both cases between kind of what should be and what is. So, but yeah, and I think that's interesting that you mentioned the thing about men.
True.
Men.
Yes.
What?
Oh, just...
You just made a face.
Nothing.
Interesting.
Men aren't all bad. They're not all bad.
They're not
Some
all
men
bad.
Are okay.
No,
I agree.
Not.
Hashtag
I'm sitting
not all
Oh my god,
two
one of my
men.
Favorite songs of all time...
Is about men.
...is from the song Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. It's from the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is a very interesting TV show. It's called Let's Generalize About Men. It's so funny.
I think I've heard that song.
It is literally, should we play it? I think we should just play it. Honestly, it's worth it. I don't know if it's going to be on Spotify, but it is on YouTube.
Yeah, here it is.
Just play it.
Okay, here we go. This is Let's Generalize About Men from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend Season 3.
The best show.
Reminds me of like a grown-up Phineas and Ferb song.
Yes.
Wait, that is so true. Crazy. Oh my god. Crazy Ex's girlfriend is a grown-up Phineas and Ferb. Oh my god. I need to write a paper on this immediately.
Can we talk about how Phineas and Ferb was just like a musical
that we really listened to? It was amazing, and I loved every second of it. And I miss it.
I miss it so much.
Remember how they taught us about aglets, like the little plastic that's in our shoes? Those were good songs.
That's
good
for her.
Transition from love to Phineas and Ferb.
I love Phineas and Ferb. So,
whoa.
You know.
I am in love with Phineas and Ferb. No need to qualify that. I'm in love with Phineas and Ferb.
So funny.
Both of them individually and together.
Oh my God. And together.
Not just the show, but the characters. Yes. Phineas and Ferb. Wow.
I just think that, I don't know, I think that song is so clever because I fall victim to the whole let's hate on men thing a lot. And it's like, it's absurd. I mean, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and then it's like, oh yeah, well, oh, gay men, they're wonderful. Like, you know, it's like, there are these huge generalizations made. And at one point it's like, let's just admit this is some sort of primal ritual we need now and then. And it's like,
true.
Maybe that's true. Another really good one, just for anyone who wants to listen, is called We'll Never Have Problems Again. Maybe we'll play it at the end if we... Please,
we'll see. We'll see.
For now, I think it's time to play my psych song.
Okay.
So, Robert Sternberg. You know what? I don't think I need to. Let's see if I give no background what you learn.
Okay. So, this is Mona's original song. Hopefully, this audio
will
work
out. It's to the tune of another song. You'll see.
Hopefully, we don't get sued for copyright
infringement. We won't. It's going to be amazing. I'm so excited.
So, here goes nothing.
Sometimes I feel I've got to define love, got to write a theory, that is triangular and pretty neat. The love we share can be defined with care into one of three parts. Robert Sternberg created a work of art. Once there were only two, but just companionate and passionate won't do. Triangle contains at least seven. That's a social psychologist seven. Let's all go through each and every one. Empty love. Empty love. That means all there is commitment. Nothing but commitment. That relationship sounds unhealthy. When you have only passion, then that is known as infatuation, which still does not sound healthy. You need intimacy for things to be happy. When there's only intimacy, then that is just liking. Not toxic, but not really love. What if you want all of the above? Intimacy, passion, and commitment all become consummate love. Consummate love. In the middle of the triangle, it is every couple's goal. But there's still three more to go. Combinations of two that you just gotta know. Companionate love. Mix of commitment and intimacy, like your grandparents being happy. That's companionate love. Intimacy and passion is known as romantic love. Like when you say we're a thing, 'cause you can't commit to dating. The last one is fatuous love, which is passion and commitment, which is just being a stalker. And that's the triangular theory. Kinda cool, but please be weary. Don't take it too seriously. If we did that to love, where would it be? I know.
Wow.
I know. Grammy-winning artist. If anyone cared to look up the Triangular Theory of Love, I did cover every single option on the Triangular Theory of Love, and I hoped you all learned a lot. And that's the tea. It's a great, you know, it's, I don't know.
I didn't understand the Triangular Theory of Love, and then you played that song, and now my understanding is just... It's so deep now. Like, I have such a deep understanding.
Thank you.
I think the only way that information could be conveyed to me and then me understand it was through song, and somehow you knew that.
Yes.
If you want to get lit and learn at your next corporate event, hire Mona.
Book Mona.
No last name, just Mona.
Just Mona. Call every Mona in the phone book.
Yeah.
True.
Did you say but Mona? What'd you say, Noah?
But Mona.
I thought you were like, but Mona, but that's not what you said.
Oh, no, I didn't remember.
You just
said
Mona.
Book Noah.
Oh, yeah, book Mona. Mona. Please,
I thought Mona. Noah was like, but Mona, and I was like, what, Noah?
But Mona, what about the other songs you wrote?
Oh, no. So many.
Yeah, that are
so many academic
Mona
songs.
Mona the Hits.
What?
You have an album now called Mona the Hits because
did you make it up?
I had to log Let's Talk About Love.
That's so funny. I love that.
Tainted love.
Wow. This was such a good conversation.
It's amazing.
So good. What in our last few minutes of this semester?
No.
What do we
don't make me sad.
I know. We had a great semester here on Mona and Noah Save
an amazing
the World.
Run.
An amazing run. We're so excited to just keep going. I'm thinking, watch out, because I think next semester we're going to have an Instagram.
Ooh.
And we're just going to, I know, we're just going to, like, advertise on our Instagram.
Noah doesn't even have an Instagram.
I know, Noah doesn't have one, but his radio show will. Yeah, honestly, I thought that this was going to be kind of a mess, this episode, but it really wasn't. It was actually, like, really not a mess at all. Like, it was, we did so well.
If you thought it was a mess, don't tell us.
Yeah, you know what?
We can't handle it.
We can't handle it, no. We love the show too much. That's love. We love the show. Loving inanimate object. Okay. I think we should end the show with we'll never have problems again. But we don't have to. We could pick of my other favorite songs from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, or we could pick a real song that's not from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. What do you think, Noah? It's your, you know what? You had to listen to Let's Generalize About Men. We'll give this one to you.
No, don't make me pick a last song, because...
Let's do Love You Like a Love Song.
We already played that
one. That was background music.
It was? Oh, I didn't know that.
Don't tell the listeners, but they already listened to that song.
They just
Do you think we can hold one over right now?
Well, I don't know. The reason I said that is because my father, who is, you know, like an intellectual, has good taste in art. His weakness is that he thinks Selena Gomez
is my favorite Selena Gomez song.
That's about love. Could play that. I mean,
lots of good stuff.
The heart
listeners, if you have any request for a last song, don't be afraid to call in.
You have exactly 4 minutes and 30 seconds
to
call
in. Can we all say it together?
Oh yes.
Okay.
This is Mona and Noah Save the World, and you are listening to
91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
That was kind of creepy. Didn't like that very much.
If you're just tuning in.
This is not a cult.
This is not a cult.
Or it's too late. You're part of the cult now.
If you're just tuning in, sorry for brainwashing you into the cult.
Something to be done now.
All I'm saying is Careless Whisper hasn't been played yet.
Would you hate us, Mona?
I wouldn't hate you. When I first saw this was on the playlist, I was like, absolutely not. But I think that...
All in favor of Careless Whisper?
Everyone just started.
There are
three out of four
in the studio.
Okay, I guess that's...
Listeners, to show our love for you and our appreciation and our thanks for sticking around all semester and for tuning in next semester.
Yep, that's a key one.
This is... Careless Whisper by George Michael.
Have a wonderful holiday.
Yes, have a lovely holidays.
Bye.
Thank you for having us on the show.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Bye. Thank you for coming.
Oh,
thank
you. I forgot you were like guests. You're like regulars.
Amazing guests.
Amazing.
Yeah, so is that the end? Okay, here we go.
That was morbid.
Careless Whisper by George Michael.
I'm up all night to get lucky.